This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Good morning, Metroplex. We are live with the Thursday edition from Radio Row, as the announcer man said, here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. I'm Sean Sharif alongside RJ Choppy and our Cowboys insider, Bobby Roberto Bell. We got Ruben as the glue of the entire morning show. He is fist pumping away. And probably because it's NBA trade deadline day. But before we get to that, we got the guest list. We got Jay Glazer. We have Darren Woodson. Did you do the homework I asked you to do last night? I never heard back from you.
I don't remember having you ask me to do homework.
Okay. Darren Woodson.
Oh, that homework. Yes, I did.
Did you get it? You've not heard back? Okay. No. Thurman Thomas will sit down as well, and we'll see if we can squeeze in Moose Johnston, Kurt Schilling, and we have another awesome Tolo ticket giveaway for you. But, of course, you know at 6 o'clock, we always recap our night. I have written down McAfee, EpiPens, King Cake, and Clogged. Start us off, RJ Choppy, with your running buddy, Ruben.
Me and Rube went at about 5:30-ish, went to the casino.
But you did, I mean, that wasn't even the start of your bromance for the day, right?
No, we went first, yeah, you're right. Yesterday we went to Koshan Butcher.
Okay.
Okay, that was the restaurant right behind the hotel.
That's kind of like the place everyone, it's that close?
It's 30 yards behind the hotel.
Okay.
Right? It's very, very close.
Because I wanted to go to it, but then I saw that Ruben texted us the selfie at the casino. So I thought he was already gone and it was done.
Yeah, he was. He was there. And I said, hey, we're going to go eat. And I'm in an Uber. I'm getting an Uber right now. So we go there, and everybody raves about this place. Said it's really, really good. And I agree. It's really good if you've never been to a deli before. You have no idea what a sandwich is.
Well, you know what? That applies in Dallas.
It's true.
We have terrible sandwiches.
That's true.
We have no delis.
Is this you just being like Northeast deli snob?
Yeah,
man,
I'm sorry, I am a snob. Yeah, if I've been to Katz's Deli, I'm a snob. Okay, I will not eat clam chow. Lobster bisque anywhere outside of Massachusetts. I just won't do it anymore. I won't do it.
That's the only reason I wanted to go to Texas Day Brazil the other day for my father-in-law, and they took it off the menu. Yeah. It was for dinner, only for dinner.
Yeah, so I'm not gonna go and order brisket in like Cleveland,
right?
Not gonna do it.
But you know, they should be able to make sandwiches in other places.
Should it's fine. It's a fine sandwich. I had Cubano. Okay, I don't know what his name was, but I had a Cuban sandwich. So I had
Ruben.
That. It was good. What was that?
That's a different sandwich.
His name is Ruben.
It's good. It was good. It was good. But it wasn't like, oh my God, you gotta go to this place.
Detect a hint of Persian.
They gave you.
All right, Ruben, I trust your food take and your food instincts. How good was it? Like raging thumbs up. Do you know what we're talking about? The sandwich. Yeah. What'd you get? You can turn on your mic too if you want to.
Man,
how are you more awake 10 minutes before the show than when the show actually starts? All right, what did you get at the sandwich place?
I got the Cajun pork dog.
How was it?
It's pretty good. I give it a 7.
Okay.
They had the mustard, yeah. Sauerkraut, and chili.
Yeah.
So.
And did RJ's look amazing?
Of course. It's RJ's. He makes the right decisions besides last night on the bet.
Right. Yeah. Besides, you know, all the gambling. Get out of here. Get out of here.
I did well. I crushed it. So we had that. We bet the room.
With his camera? Was that the pictures you guys were taking?
Went full old school. He bought one of those disposable Fuji cameras, those green ones.
They kind of look really cool. Like it's a retro look.
Look at it.
Oh, he's got it there, right there.
Yeah, it's he's like, I want to go full vintage. I'm like, yeah, it'll be vintage. What do you see? What do you develop that film? And it takes 2 weeks to get developed because nobody can do it anymore.
He's a silent hippie. He's talking about how his 5 disposable cameras back at his house that he still hasn't gotten developed from other trips. But he's a little Portland-like, I think.
Yeah. A lot of Portland there for old Rube. So did that. Then we go to the casino, and we sit down. We place our bets. Peyton, I would like Peyton and I just to switch scores because we both lost. I took the under in the Tennessee game. He took the over in the Duke game. We both lost. So I sat down at a blackjack table. To the right, I see Pat McAfee.
Oh.
He sits down. I thought about sitting down at his table. It was an open table. There's one guy there. I was like, nah, I don't want to be that guy.
Dude.
Too obvious.
No.
Obvious. I'd already made eye contact with him. You can't do it at that point.
Oh.
He was playing
by himself, so he had no entourage, no crew?
There was crew. They were all around him, but they weren't like...
Oh, bro.
Yeah, they weren't
and
like...
finish my sentences.
They weren't like... they didn't have like a roped off. Like, Barkley had it roped off when I saw him a couple years ago. He had it roped off. So I sat down at the next table. Went on a bit of a heater.
Oh.
Shoe was over. Got up. Said, Tennessee game is about to start. Let's go watch it. We go watch it. And then halftime rolls around, and I get
so
up.
So that's it. No interaction with McAfee right
now. No, not at the moment. But I was like, all right, you know, I need to. By the way, the bartenders, stop judging, okay? I ordered a shot, and I ordered a drink. Okay, then I ordered another. This is like 30 minutes later. I was like, yeah, I'll have another round. And then he hands me water. He goes, stay hydrated, young man. And I'm like, bro.
Oh, he's like that loser who lectured us the last time we were in New Orleans. Who's that local Dallas guy forever? Lebreton.
Gil Lebreton?
Gil Lebreton is like all up in our messages, like lecturing us about like gambling. I was like, I don't even know who you are. Who is this guy?
Hey, that's fine. Nobody in Dallas really knows who Gil Lebreton
is. So I was like, yeah, I'm pacing myself here, man. I'll be fine. I'll be fine, right? So... I get up and I walk and I see McAfee talking. Now he's getting bombarded by people.
But was your next round a shot and a drink again?
No, it was just a shot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The shots are about efficiency.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so
what was the shot?
It was just what was it?
You don't remember what shot? Okay.
Hornitos. So
Rumor doesn't know the sandwich 10 hours before. Yeah. Do you know the shot you took?
So then I see McAfee just getting bombarded by people. And I'm like, all right, if he's getting, I did not want to say no. I hate going up to people.
Yeah,
it's like I don't want to bother them. They don't want to be bothered.
Yep,
right. They don't want to be bothered. So
see, my strategy with John Quinones would have worked. Like, are you somebody?
Yeah,
that would have made it more comfortable by you being like, I don't know who you are. You know.
Yeah. So. I go over there and I go to his boys and I'm like, has this happened like nonstop? And they're like, you have no idea. It's like nonstop. Like it's just, he always gets bombarded.
Yeah.
And it's always like, and everyone that was going up to him was like, it was an older crowd than I expected. They were like, you know, in their 50s, men and women in their 50s just going up. I would have expected to have been a younger, broier crowd, but it wasn't. So I finally go up to him and I was like, yo, we're.
So he gets bombarded by.
Just a bunch of people. So then he paces back the other way. Then I guess they came back my way. And I go up to him. I was like, yo, man, I'm RJ from Shan, RJ, and Chop.
Oh,
and
the line.
He's like, oh, you're the Jerry guys. Yeah, quite the year for you. Quite the year for you. I was like, yeah. He goes, is it Shan? And I'm like, nah, it's really Sean, but.
Shan and RJ and Chop.
You know, you saying Shan's kind of funny, so, you know, keep at it, whatever. Yeah. It's good. You appreciate you shouting us out.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're kind of like my spirit animal.
You told him that.
I did. I said, you're my spirit animal.
Don't tell me he was wearing a damn tank top.
He was in a tank top. He was absolutely in a tank top. He had a hat on, so he didn't have the hair flowing. I was a little disappointed. That's good hair.
Which, by the way, that tells us that you don't mind the attention that much, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Or are you just being true to your genuine self wearing the tank
true to
top?
Itself. True to the self.
No. He doesn't mind the attention. Yeah. That's exactly what it
and
is.
And then as he said one or two other things. It was a very quick conversation.
Yeah.
And as he walks off, he says, tell Shan to go F himself.
What the heck?
He ripped his video.
Yeah, Shan ripped our video.
Was he serious?
No, I don't think he was serious. I don't envision Pat getting angry. Did you think he was serious, Rube?
You didn't even know he was there, Chop, until Ruben had to tell you. I was standing right next to you the entire time.
Yeah.
how just tunnel vision in love with McAfee, Chop, he was.
Well, listen, when I look up, I don't look back.
When okay. I look up, I
Pat's
look
up.
Back.
Ruben's down.
Hey, don't go out with him today.
Yeah, you should.
Don't pick up his phone calls today because I think he thinks he got a little.
I'm the guy that's always looking through like you to get to somebody else.
Yeah,
you know how you.
You're like Ruben's vodka crayon.
Yeah.
You know how you accused me in the Uber the other day of changing the way I talk.
Yeah, pulled Elfenbein.
Yeah, that's what he claims. I can only imagine you with Yinzer talking to McAfee.
Yinzer? Oh, no.
I bet you did. I bet you did.
I didn't.
No. So that was
you want to go get a hoogie?
But crushed it at the blackjack table.
Oh, nice.
Up like five.
And Tennessee, you said won or lost?
They won, but I lost the bet. They won the game, but the under didn't hit.
EpiPens? Allergic lobster reactions?
A day later, too? That seems a little odd.
Did she eat the lobster with us?
So, it's whatever she got at dinner with you guys.
Okay.
She had brought
it
home.
She looked like she ordered the best thing.
Put it in the fridge, and she liked it. She heated it back up. She was eating it yesterday. Because there's just like
you
a
dealt with
left.
A seafood reheat microwave smell in your
honestly,
room?
Honestly, that's the thing. It didn't smell like seafood.
Oh.
And so I just, like, I was like, she was like, this isn't bugging you? I was like, I don't know, what is it? And she's like, it's lobster. And I was like, oh, nope, didn't even smell like anything. So she eats that. Well, it's like a little bit later, and all of a sudden she's just kind of standing around. She goes like, I think I'm going to throw up. And she like runs into the bathroom. And when she comes out, she was in there for a little while. When she comes out, she's like scratching. She's like, where's my inhaler? And I was like, I don't know. What's wrong? And she goes like, I think it's that I've never had lobster before until the other day, but I was fine yesterday. But like I'm itching really bad, and
oh my.
She was like red on her neck, and
it's penicillin.
Her eyes started like swelling up a little, like her cheeks were. And she was just saying, she's like, I feel like somebody's like just like inflating the left side of my face and like my neck.
Whoa!
And I was like, oh gosh,
you could see it.
I could see her eyes looked like she looked really sleepy almost, like her eyes were just closing, but she didn't look like super puffy. And so I was like, all right, well, you're having like intestinal issues if you're gastrointestinal issues if you're feeling like you're throwing up, you're kind of puffing up, you're itching, you're having trouble breathing. Like, this is definitely like an allergic reaction. We should probably go find an urgent care in the ER or something.
Oh.
She
God.
Starts going like,
can you imagine coming here and no, searching for an urgent care?
Bobby couldn't
even find a Walgreens yesterday.
Especially last night with the way, like, I don't know what was going on here last night. The streets were flooded. If that was NFL
they
experience
were,
or what?
We Ubered to the casino, but we should have just walked. It was only a half mile, but it was too muggy to
Dude,
walk.
Dude, it was crazy.
I got a sweat.
And I don't know what was going on. People were walking around with Visa bags all over the street. And so, but people were just like everywhere. She's like, I don't want to try to get out of here. It's going to be nuts. And she's like sitting here scratching all the time. I'm like, all right, well, you like this might be like mild, like this is anaphylaxis kind of close, I think.
But they know all the medical
and
terms.
So, well, I mean, they both have to carry EpiPens. Kristen and Addison have to carry EpiPens for allergies. Kristen didn't bring it this time. She was like, I forgot it. I was like, okay, well, that's wonderful. So we're going to have to at least call 911 and get somebody here to give you an EpiPen if this gets any worse.
Oh my God.
And she was like, that'd be so embarrassing. Don't do that. I'm fine. And I was like, gosh. So eventually I was like, all right, let me go get Benadryl at least at the front desk, which still takes half hour to an hour to kick in. So it kind of peaked there and never really got worse. She took the Benadryl and she came back down. But then I just ended up sitting there like, I wanted to go to bed at 7 o'clock tonight or something. And instead I'm just sitting here going like, all right, let's see if she has one of those biphasic reactions where hours
biphasic.
Later.
I know what that is.
Hours later, it like comes back with a vengeance and you can like die in your sleep or something. And so
I dealt with a clogged toilet the entire day. My wife, now it's the proof, she uses so much damn toilet paper. So much.
Baby wipes.
She could light LA on fire again with how much toilet paper she uses.
It would have to be toilet paper. There's nothing left to burn.
She always clogs
Bobby.
Why would you top my joke?
Bobby.
Why would you?
It was just right there. Like, why it's called it? Back and forth.
That was the joke I made. I made the joke. You had to top it. I let you do your whole micro fracture EpiPen reaction. Vivations. I don't know what it is.
So, I'm trying to save you from talking about a man in the toilet.
You don't have to say anything. My name's on the front of the show. I know what I'm doing. I go back home. She leaves back to Dallas. And what happens? What happens when you don't know the toilet is clogged? You use the toilet, and it clogs on you. So I'm dealing with this as I call the front desk. I texted my wife. I said, you did it again. You did it again. She goes, I called the front desk. I told him we needed a plunger. So I'm waiting and I'm waiting, praying I don't have to go to the bathroom. And I'm like, what do I have to pee? Do I just pee in the shower and I turn on the shower? Well, just to test the water, I go to the sink. Mm-hmm. Our hotel has no water.
No water.
The whole hotel.
I found out the hard way.
How?
Well, I tried to flush that growler I had down and it was just sitting there. I had to deny room service. I was like, you want any part of this?
So nasty.
You ordered room service?
There's no way. I'm sorry.
Okay. I was like, there's no way our hotel has room service. So I'm sitting there the whole day waiting on a plunger, just hoping I don't have to go to the restroom again after I've already gone. And I finally, at like 7 p.m., I called again. I called the whole day. No one's picking up downstairs. I'm too lazy to go downstairs. And they're like, oh, yeah, we'll send someone up. This guy, I mean, you talk about a pro. This guy has this freaking device. It looks like he's about to pole vault in the hallway with this thing. It sounds like he's drilling in there. I said, get on the phone. I want you to get on the phone and see this embarrassment that you caused me. I'm FaceTiming my wife. He walks in. I said, it's her fault. This is her fault. He's not believing me because she's, you know, not in the room. So I finally get that unclogged. So that was my day. So toilet clogs, EpiPens, and Pat McAfee.
You just got to go downstairs like I've been doing the whole trip.
I'm not walking lobby back bathroom. Up with a plunger.
Lobby bathroom.
You talking about embarrassment?
Lobby bathroom.
No, use the lobby bathroom if you have to go. That's what I do. I go to the lobby bathroom.
I don't want
to
go. I don't. This is not the hotel to be using the lobby bathroom.
Oh, it's great. It's like a new wing. It's like where the convention centers are.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I've been going there the whole
and
week.
It's so cool in there.
Cool, like temperature?
Temperature cool. It's like 40 degrees. That's the perfect time. That is the absolute perfect way to go.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games. Or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
For the bathroom.
877-881-1053. The way to hit us up on DFW Sports Station today is NBA trade deadline day. And we had another blockbuster last night. And the Dallas Mavericks are getting examined again over trade compensation. We'll tell you the shakeup throughout the rest of the league next on 105.3 The Fan. Daryl Moose Johnston at 6:40 this morning. He's going to cleanse your cowboy soul. Man, he brings it straight. I love there's a certain group of cowboys, the former legends, who spit it straight, and there's some others who are going to be all-time butt kissers. You know, Deion Sanders is in that category, I think, by himself, because Emmett, Aikman, Irvin, and Moose, I find that they tell it like it is. You're going to hear that at 6:40 this morning on the home of the Cowboys. But we got breaking news in the NBA from last night. Sean and RJ, live from Radio Row in New Orleans, brought to you by Stella, the Low T Center, and Best Buy Windows and Siding. The Jimmy Butler saga is finally over in Miami. They're trading Jimmy to the Golden State Warriors for Andrew. All right, I'm not being dramatic about this. The Mavericks make me look now. If you're on the fan cam, you can see it. They made me look at every NBA trade return like this. Like, oh, my God.
I saw somebody tweet yesterday. They're like, I now have PTSD whenever I see any reporter type breaking.
Yes.
I see it and I go, like, I don't want to see that.
I'm like, oh, my God, how embarrassing are we going to be over the trade comp here? Are you serious? Ruben said he was chilling with the producer from the Rich Eisen show.
Well.
And they're like, thanks for Luka. Appreciate it. Stop our studios, but thanks for Luka. All right. Jimmy Butler, 4. Andrew Wiggins, Dennis Schroeder, Kyle Anderson, and a protected first-round pick. That is not a lot to get back for Jimmy Butler. So the great Pat Riley was trending. He's usually trending for nothing but praise. But Jimmy B for Wiggins, Schroeder, who cares, Kyle Anderson, and a protected first.
Yeah, they didn't have a whole lot of leverage. They had a guy who, at the time, was like not committing to a extension.
And this would be the Mavericks' argument for keeping things quiet and not calling around. They would say, you lose leverage like that. Jimmy came out and said, I want out. The whole league knew it. That would be their argument.
That would be their argument. Their argument would have no zero blades because he was 100% going to sign the Supermax. Financially, no agent would tell him not to. So he would have signed the Supermax. So you would have had him for 4 years.
You signed him and then you try to trade him.
Right.
But
you still have leverage because he has control. You know, he's going to be there. Jimmy doesn't have a contract.
Jimmy's also going to be 36 soon.
Yeah.
And right. So I'm saying 30.
I'm just saying once it gets out, they're trying to sell it as once things get out and the player can dictate, fan base, reactions, commissioners. That's what they're going to argue for the rest of the time.
Once it gets out, yes, but the difference is A, age, B, contract control. You're gonna get. It's not comparable. They can try to sell this all they want. The problem is the Mavs showed last week they can't sell a damn thing.
How many All Star teams has Jimmy made since he left Chicago 9 years ago?
The world would have you believe 7.
Right.
I'm gonna guess 2.
3. 3 All-Stars.
Yeah, he doesn't try between November and May. It's like when he gets to the playoffs, I mean, he becomes this like they've had a really good run of postseason success with him.
Did he get an extension tagged onto this too? I thought I saw like 2 for 120.
Yeah, he got like a 2-year extension tagged on, got some money worked out, and so
you said you didn't say 36.
He'll be 36 in September.
Oh yeah. My.
He's an old man.
All right, so what does this do for the Warriors?
I mean, they're
what?
They're clearly better today. It gives them another massive playoff option.
Yeah,
like they're good. They're a good squad now.
Now this happened because Kevin Durant said no to a Golden State return. Dude, following Phoenix, I have no in. I can't explain this. I have no. Remember us being at the Super Bowl when the KD, the yeah. Suns news broke. I have no interest in following the Suns, and I don't have like this. I don't have this in all stunning praise for Kevin Durant the way I should. I think it's been 6 years since he's been past the second round of the playoffs. 6 years, but he said no back to Golden State, and that has some Mavs conspiracy theorists saying, all right, now it's set up, it's on the table for Nico to go get Durant, like the New York Times reported the other day, either now or the offseason.
Yeah, and look, I mean, wasn't it somebody asked, I think someone asked Kyrie about this the other day, too, about, like, well, didn't you previously try to get Anthony Davis with you and KD in Brooklyn? Is this the ultimate plan for you? And he's like, no, don't go reading into anything there on that front. But, I mean, look, if that's...
He's hurt. He lost his hermano.
He did. If that's what they built, if that's what they genuinely wanted to finish with, is either go get KD this offseason or if they tried to get him at the deadline, yeah, it's got to happen, like, now or next year. Like you've got to win a title then because that's going to be your complete window. And it would then speak to, again, Nico being a guy who just looks at this as... I got 2-3 years. That's all I'm concerned about. Nothing else.
There's another thing. Yesterday, I was talking about how we're so ticked off of the Mavericks for doing things, quote unquote, Steven, the sports right way. The owner let the GM supposedly do it. The GM is not putting up with, not setting the right example as the team leader. And the Mavericks, like the Stars, man, the Stars were the Cowboys sideswiped the other day with their trade, saying we're going all in. This is all in from the Dallas Mavericks, it seems. Like, although could easily say, no, all in is with the 25-year-old top three player in the entire league. But if they pull off a move like Durant, that is going all in and destroying the 10-year window.
The idea that their window, like that they have a better window now, all they have now is now a set time frame.
Yep.
All they did was manufacture a window that didn't even need to be there.
Yep.
Their window was infinite. It was just, it wasn't even a window. They had a hole in the roof. They were like, hey, well, look at this, man. Here we go.
Yep.
When LeBron was with the Cavs, every second that LeBron was with the Cavs, they had a window. They were, his entire career. When he was gone, their window was shut. And that's the same thing the Mavericks may be looking
at. So the Lakers are not only letting Luka bring his training staff, they're letting Luka have some personnel say. Apparently, behind the scenes, when he sat down with the management, he said, "I need a big, I need an alley oop lob catching big like I had with Gafford, like I had with Lively." Well, late last night, the Lakers traded Choppy's boy Dalton Connect, Cam Reddish, a 2031 unprotected first and a pick swap to the Hornets for someone named Mark Williams.
I mean, Mark Williams brought back more than Luka, it appears. not quite.
No, Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer said, wild the Mavericks get just the 2029 first in the Luka deal. Meanwhile, Hornets get a 31, a swap, and this past year's first in Connect, who a lot of Laker fans loved. Obviously, the Mavs got AD and Christie as value, but not even in a swap for Dallas. Come on. Yeah. That from Kevin O'Connor.
Look, I mean, it's...
seems like a lot to give up for Mark Williams, but they needed a center. They had no big.
I mean, he doesn't have red flags like Luka did. Luka's clearly a massive risk, as Rob Pelinka convinced Nico, moron.
He had to talk him down on that one. So it's a disappointing day, man. It just like the whole week continues to disappoint, and I don't think it's going to get any better. We haven't even started watching either one of those two players play on their new teams.
They were, you mentioned how he convinced
Lakers them. Got better, Warriors got better. If you're looking at the Mavs in the West.
Yeah.
Now, Ramona Shelburne, what she reported was Lakers had obviously already been looking for a big, but they specifically wanted a veteran. They were looking for some more, like, low post, slower, like, older type of bigs. And like you mentioned, that was what changed for them, is that Luka talking about, well, no, what helped open things up were these younger athletic centers I was playing with, like Gafford and Lively. And then Rob Pelinka goes, great advice, Luka. I'll go get that for you. We'll go do that. This is insane. I get angrier and angrier every second that passes with this.
Mark Williams, 3 years in the league. Did you say out of Duke? How often do we have to look up and try to figure out who this guy is coming out of Duke?
Usually when somebody plays at Duke, you know who he is. Duke, Carolina, you know, Kansas, you figure those, Kentucky, you don't just know those guys by name.
Meanwhile, if you're wondering how Luka Doncic is feeling, Brian Windhorst leaves no doubt.
I'm not ready to move on like everybody else just yet. I want to know if Luka Doncic is angry at the Mavericks. I mean, was there something today that revealed his mood, the state of their relationship? Is he pissed? Because it would seem like he can say he's happy to be in L.A., Brian, but this stunned him. How does he feel about them?
He betrayed nothing today, but from what I understand, he's seething at them.
Okay.
And their fan base is seething at their team in a way that I've rarely seen before. And, you know, he's playing. They're the return game to Dallas is in April, like April 9th or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
And I don't know many things, and I would never tell. I would always caution somebody who buys an April game late in the season because teams are always sort of maneuvering and giving guys off.
Yeah.
If you could take us to that game, Mr. Doncic will be playing, and I suspect Mr. Doncic will be looking at all Dallas games very, very closely going forward.
Seething. Oof. So it's depressed, but it's also just absolutely seething, which is wonderful to hear. That's so exciting. That means he will score 100 points on them in April. Be afraid.
I want to go to the AAC for that game. I think it's a Wednesday night.
It's Wednesday night,
6:30 ESPN. Peyton, you were looking at. Oh, more Michael Wilbon right now.
Anthony Edwards said he's going to buy a courtside seat because they're off that day.
That's good luck getting tickets. That's one of those media pass days where you got to sit sky high in the that stupid upstairs press box they've got that you can't see a thing in a basketball game.
What do the tickets look like, Peyton?
I mean, for the upper deck, way at the top, I mean, you're by the ceiling. They were still north of $250 per ticket. And that was after fees and everything. But for a Wednesday night 6:30 game, that's a lot.
And down low?
Down low was, I mean, you're looking at four figures.
Yeah, it was like $1,100 on some of those tickets, things like that. And so, I mean, it's going to be a hot ticket. And that's we talked about it on Monday while you were up, that the tickets the rest of the season are like, the average price is like $40. And this one is the only one that's up.
What is wrong with the Dallas Cowboys? Is it Jerry Jones and everyone else in the front office? He always spits the truth, and he's going to do it again. Sitting down with us next is Daryl Moose Johnson on the home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. All right, he joined us last year. We had to have him sit down with us again on the home of the Dallas Cowboys. He is the legend, Daryl Moose Johnston, 105.3 The Fan. What's up, man? How are you?
I'm great. How you doing?
We're frustrated.
Yeah. Well, I shouldn't ask anybody from Dallas that question, right? My fault. I apologize.
Over which topic, though?
Yeah, I know, right? Well, we're not good in it. Wait till we trade Micah Parsons in both franchises, you know, trade one of the top players in an offseason.
All right, which one's more shocking, Luka or Schottenheimer?
I think there's a scenario behind the Schottenheimer hire that we just don't have the details out publicly yet that I think would explain it a little bit better. Luka's trade is, we were at a wedding Saturday night. That thing came through the wedding party, and it's all, like, my son is 25. I mean, it just a shockwave through the entire wedding. I felt bad for the bride.
I know.
It's just like, I mean, she's like, what the hell just happened?
Got so, upstage.
Yeah, right. Who the hell is Luka, and why is he ruining my wedding?
Now, are you guessing something? There's something more of the Schottenheimer thing, or you know something?
No, I'm trying to figure the whole thing out, because if you wanted to stay status quo, why didn't you just hire Mike McCarthy? It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But I think Brian's done a really good job with some of the hires that he's brought in. I think Matt Eberflus is a good hire. You know, I felt bad for him just watching that game on Thanksgiving, because they were playing hard, and they couldn't get over the top. And we were there in 89. Well, I mean, we found some very creative ways to lose games, but the Bears definitely surpassed us this past season. But if you looked at what happened after they moved away from Matt, you could see that his guidance had left, right? Because they were just horrible for about a month. And they righted the ship at the end. So I like that hire. You know, the OC hire is going to be interesting, because that's an offense, you know, based on a run game with Kyler Murray, and you don't have a Kyler Murray. So I would have liked Scotty Montgomery maybe a little bit more out of Detroit, because that's a more traditional style run game that I think you're going to do in Dallas. But I just think, when I look at it, it looks like the organization was caught off guard and it's like, how did this sneak up on you? So the only thing I can think of is, because everybody's contracts were over, this is not a, hey, we're going to bring you in and we're going to talk about whether we're going to do the final year of your contract. This is more like, are we moving forward with you on a new contract? Yeah. And I think that that new contract came across the table, and the organization said, I don't know if we want to go to that number.
I'm curious, just real quick, you mentioned 1989, the first year that you're here, and we talked right at the very beginning about the Luka trade and the shockwaves there. When the Herschel Walker trade went down, was that a similar type of like shockwave experience that you recall? Just like that was so unforeseen.
No, because we were not good. We traded away our best player, but was that one player really going to resurrect that team? Or was all the draft capital and the players that you got in return for that player going to prove to be the best way moving forward? And that is a trade that people still to this day talk about. I have never seen the entire tree come down off the Herschel Walker trade, but I have heard some of the names that became Dallas Cowboy players based on draft picks that were either used at the spot they were in the trade or traded down the road and then came back to us. And it's pretty impressive. I think it's Kevin Smith and Darren Woodson. I mean, it's a number of guys that were great players for us. So I don't think those two trades compare at all. Because you're going from, you know, a team that really didn't know what it was going to become, and that trade was really the genesis of allowing it to become that team that it was in the 90s, where this is one that, I mean, when you talk, there's nobody that looks at this trade and says, yeah, it kind of makes sense to me. I mean, nobody has said that. Where I think when the Herschel Walker trade, there was like a, whoa, you know, that's the most talented guy in the roster. Why would you trade him? And then all of a sudden you see what you're getting, and you're like, oh, okay, that makes a little bit of sense.
Moose, do you think that the divorce between the Cowboys and McCarthy is almost like a relief for both parties? Are you getting that sense?
I think it sounds like it was amicable at the end. You know, Troy made the comment that it's not as coveted a job as it once was, and I think that there's a lot of truth to that. You know, everybody understands the dynamic that exists within the franchise, and do you want to take that on? How much control and how much say do you have? Because if you talk to anybody that's competitive that gets into a position of leadership, I want to do it my way. So if I fail, it was because of me.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be because of something that was outside of my control. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the biggest challenge that the franchise has moving forward.
Do you talk to Jerry?
I don't.
You don't?
I don't, yeah.
But that's just because paths don't cross, or when you go in to sit down.
Oh, you know, if we see each other and stuff, yeah, absolutely. If I see him, I definitely, you know, say hello. He drafted me in his first draft class, you know, him and Jimmy. So I will always be, you know, obligated to the Jones and grateful and thankful to the Jones family for bringing me into the Cowboy family. So, yeah, when we get an opportunity to visit and we're in the same area, it's great. And Stephen Jones is somebody that I feel I can pick up the phone and if I have a question, we do a lot of stuff. I talk to Will McClay constantly about players and advice from Will. So I do have a connection into the Cowboy family, you know, with a lot of the key people in that organization. So
the thing that infuriated us, definitely I'll speak for myself, the process of not talking to Belichick or Vrabel or Glenn or just name them.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, the appearance is you didn't want to do your homework, or you knew that wasn't a possibility, that these people would upset the power structure, or you didn't want the bigger personality. It's fans are starting to feel hopelessness now.
Yeah.
I haven't felt them feel for the 15 years that we've been working together.
Yeah, that's a great point. And really, you know, the two big topics we're talking about right here, it seems like conversation has been lacking. That's the key component to both of them. You know, the Mavericks, just not hard conversations between a general manager and a star player. You know, why haven't we had these? Why hasn't this stuff been laid out on the table and then more people brought in to figure out what's the best way to move forward on this?
Yeah.
You know, we need buy-in from you. Here's what we're willing to do. What are you willing to do? And that's what it's about. That's what great leadership is about. And if you have an opportunity not to visit, I knew that just everything that we just talked about, the structure of the Dallas Cowboys, I mean, do you really think you're going to bring in a Pete Carroll? I mean, Pete is very different in his approach every week. It is not traditional, but it's been very effective for him, going all the way back to USC. And he's not going to change that, and he's going to want certain things in place, and how willing is the organization to grant those? So I think maybe some of those conversations were never had because you know they're not a good fit. So that leads to the hopelessness because they wanted a big hire. But, you know, let's go back to it. It's not the name, right? Because let's go to Detroit. They hired Dan Campbell. That's not a huge splash.
Right.
And then he's biting kneecaps on his first presser, and everybody's laughing at him.
Yep.
But that's just Dan Campbell. That's just who he is. He's real. And that's what you want. You want somebody who's real. You want somebody that excites the fan base. You want somebody that gets all the players engaged. And then Dan did a great thing, you know, hiring his staff. And he got criticized. Oh, there's too many X players here. You know, you need some guys with X's and O's. That team, when you walk into that facility, man, there is a culture there. And you know, there's nobody has a question of what's going to happen next. Everybody has the answers. So that's the most important thing for me, and that's what's missing in Dallas.
I want to follow up on the culture thing because they talked about that a lot in the presser. Something was missing, and Brian is going to fix that. And people go, well, are you going to be allowed to implement your culture? Like, what does that actually mean in terms of interference that we all love to imagine and talk about? Maybe it's real. Like, what would Brian Schottenheimer not be able to do that he would want to do when the Joneses are involved or the front office is involved?
Yeah, I think this is one where maybe people start to focus on a part of the organization that really doesn't have anything to do with the most important cultural aspect. So let me give you an example. This is what I've heard about Kansas City. So here's a team that's been to 5 Super Bowls in 6 years. They're on the cusp of making history. Andy Reid is old school. He takes his players to a college campus, and they live in dormitories, and they practice football. And Andy Reid presses the envelope when you talk about NFL restrictions in training camp, in the regular season, padded practices. You know, he is going as far as he possibly can towards old school. I think we've let the pendulum swing way too far. When you go to training camp, Patrick Mahomes practices, Travis Kelce practices, Chris Jones practices. When you have a preseason game, Patrick Mahomes plays, Travis Kelce plays, Chris Jones plays. If you're healthy, you're playing. And I think you do the same thing when you come into the season. You are pressing the envelope with the parameters that are placed on NFL practices by the NFLPA. And even if you want to be proactive and call them up and say, hey, if one of my guys calls you and says we're skirting the line, then I need you to call me so I can explain it or at least get some clarity so I make sure that I'm in line. I hear that they're not working hard enough. I mean, that's what comes back to me. And that was why we were as good as we were. I mean, we worked harder than anybody in the NFL at that time. I didn't get to go to all 31 other training camps, but when they came to us, I mean, it was, they're like, whoa, hey, you know, and you know, the Raiders came in and it was a war for 4 days. I mean, the preseason game on Saturday night was easy. You know, the practices on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday were unbelievable. And that was that era. Now, was that the right way to do things? Probably not. Probably shortened a lot of our careers. But, you know, the big thing is, you know, back then, you know, you could look at how we did things and how San Francisco did things. And we did them very differently, but we both were successful. But San Francisco was still fast at practice and not as physical as we were. We were physical at practice and we were still fast. But they wanted to focus on the speed. Let's go do inside run drill. Let's take the shoulder pads off after that, and now let's fly. Let's go really quick. And I don't know if we're practicing that way anymore in the NFL, not just in Dallas,
yeah,
in the NFL, because we stressed our bodies in training camp. We didn't have soft tissue because we had pushed ourselves so far in training camp that we were never really going to reach that level again with soft tissue stuff during the year. We trained so hard in the offseason, we got the body ready physically to take on a 16-game schedule. Now we're 18 weeks and 17 games, and you pull back the work? That's why the body breaks down. It's not ready to go through that.
Moose Johnson joining us here, 105 through the Fan. Do you think their hesitancy to drastically change, update, you know, rebuild, or go through a drastic change with the way they want to hire coaches, do you think that's simply Jerry's old and he doesn't want to risk a miss?
I didn't understand the risk answer during the press conference because – to me, every head coach hire is a risk, and a lot of times it is a coordinator who's taking that next step. Ben Johnson, he's never been a head coach before. This is a risk for Chicago.
For sure.
You don't know.
Yep.
They had a risk with Matt Eberflus, and that one didn't work out for him. I mean, the majority of the time when you're hiring a new head coach, he's being a coordinator being elevated to that position to sit in that chair for the first time. So, yeah, it's always a risk. So I thought that was – that was one I got to wrap my head around. The biggest risk he ever took was Jimmy Johnson, right? Bringing a guy from the college ranks up to the professional ranks. And that was phenomenal. That was a tremendous decision. And he had all the success there. So it seems like for me, you know, you buy the team in 89, you make a risky hire, it works out great, and you go on a historic run. And you caught lightning in the bottle early, and you've been chasing it ever since. And I think that people had expectations, and it's just they have to know how hard it is to win a game in the NFL, let alone to win a championship in the NFL. There's so many things that have to go your way, and they just haven't put themselves in the position to allow those things to happen.
Moose, give us an update on the United Football League. What's going on with you guys?
We announced our headquarters in Arlington last week. So where we were 4 years ago when I started in Legacy USFL and where we are right now, is unbelievable to me. It's been an amazing journey. We've had tremendous people that have helped us along the way. I say one of the big things for us is year one, we're like salesmen along with whatever our role was, and we've got to convince players and we've got to convince coaches to buy into our vision and come join us. And now, you know, those players and those coaches are calling us. Those agents are reaching out to us. Hey, we'd love to get our guy into your league. You know, when's the next opportunity for us to get in there? We had to make a coaching change this year. We've got Ken Wisenhunt, who we talked to 2 years ago, who was working as a consultant at Alabama. Hey, I'm very flattered, but I'm not ready to leave what I'm doing right now. Well, he calls this year. So we get Ken Wisenhunt in our league. Tom Cable, Mark Colombo, you know, are going to be offensive line coaches in our league. We're getting really, really good coaches and really good players coming our way. And that's a testament to a lot of hard work by a lot of great people in this league. But where we were in 22 and where we are right now in 25, to me, for everybody that has been a part of that journey originally from Legacy USFL, it is absolutely amazing where we are. And the best decision last year by the XFL top management, by the USFL top management, to come together in a merger and not stand toe-to-toe and slug it out and see who the last man standing was going to be was the best decision. And we're unwinding that, and we've had a better cadence in the offseason, so everybody's a little bit more prepared for this season coming up. So really, really high expectations for the brand of football you're going to see.
Absolute treat as always, man. Thank you so much, and enjoy the rest of the weekend.
Thanks. Yeah, you guys too.
Darryl Moose Johnston, the Cowboy legend right here on 105.3 The Fan. The man who tried to get rid of Luka 2 years ago. Are Mavs prices going up as well? And a Luke Bryan ticket giveaway next on Sean and RJ.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.